This week, emergency officials launched a major emergency awareness campaign in the nation's capital. Ads in Washington, D.C.'s subway system and on television and radio warn residents to be prepared for the worst.
Are you ready to stay inside for 3 days or more with enough supplies like water and batteries? Do you know your school's plan in case you and your children become separated? In a natural disaster or terrorist attack, the first 15 minutes are the most important. Planning can make a difference. Go to
Hurricane Katrina has many Americans thinking about what could happen to them in an emergency. And the apparent breakdown in the response after the storm has emergency officials scrambling to reevaluate their state of readiness. Los Angeles, for example, is working to update its tsunami warning system. In Washington, D.C., in addition to the federal government, there are scores of neighborhoods. A mass evacuation could put some 800,000 people onto already congested streets leading into Virginia and Maryland. Natalie Jones Best is the emergency preparation and risk manager at the district's Department of Transportation. We caught up with her in the Traffic Management Center, where a wall of more than 40 TV screens flashes images of street corners.
What you're looking at right now are a series of closed-circuit television cameras. And most of these cameras are throughout the city, most of them located on our emergency routes.
So day-to-day, you're watching traffic flow and just keeping up with little things that happen every day. But when you think about the worst-case scenario, how will this facility play?
Well, this facility is very, very important, again, because it really serves as our eyes in the street in terms of our management. I think it's important to stress that we don't always push evacuation. We do look at sheltering in place. 90-95% of the time, if there is an incident, we do not want people to just get in their cars and run because they may be getting into a more dangerous situation.
Is it even humanly possible to get 800,000 vehicles out of this city?
Well, I mean, it just depends on the type of incident. I mean, in New Orleans, what we saw was, okay, there's a hurricane that's coming, so people at least had days to prepare. In that case, I think, yes, if we're given that type of notice, I think we are able to do that. It's similar to a 9/11, however, it becomes a lot more difficult because there's no notice, and so everyone descends to the streets, and there's got to be some level of organization.
I think that Hurricane Katrina has sort of sparked this conversation of, you know, who's really responsible? Am I the one who's on my own, or do I rely on the government to come and get me and tell me where to go?
I think it's a shared responsibility. I think, number one, it does start with self, and I tell that to my family. I tell it to any time I go to a meeting out in the community. It's also important as neighbors, you know, make sure that as you're developing your plan, you look out for your next-door neighbor to say, well, I know she doesn't have a vehicle. Let's make sure she has some level of provisions in case of a worst-case scenario. So I think that is where we start in terms of the human side of this. What I think the government can do is, and what we try and do here, is to make sure if, for instance, an evacuation takes place, that our infrastructure is clear enough so vehicles and people are able to move.
As a planner, was there one moment when you were watching all of this happen and you saw something that made you think, this could happen here, I've got to think about this, I've got to do this? I mean, did it trigger anything as you were watching it unfold? I'm curious.
Well, one of the things I will say, I mean, in this position, you're constantly thinking about what can happen. So it didn't really take an incident like Hurricane Katrina to say, wait a minute, the light bulb is going off. It's what I call what keeps me up at night. And I think one of the things that, you know, we do see and we've talked a little bit about is just making sure those individuals who may not have access to transportation, our elderly population. I'm really thinking about our disabled population. I would say that is the one thing that keeps me up at night. It's difficult. It really is, because as much as we want to be able to say we will provide you with a bus, the resources are not necessarily there. But more importantly, I think just in terms of, because it's such a grassroots effort, you don't necessarily know exactly who is door to door.
Good morning.
To find out more about the grassroots level preparedness, we traveled a couple of miles from the high-tech traffic management center in Washington, D.C. to the Petworth neighborhood. We're on Joseph Martin's front stoop. He's a member of the Local Advisory Neighborhood Commission. First of all, will you just tell me a little bit about the Petworth neighborhood and where we are and who lives here?
Petworth is a neighborhood that I've been living in D.C. for 20 years and living in Petworth for only 2 years, but it's about 80-90% African American, and I have quite a few senior citizens. People are in their late 70s, 80s and even 90s living in the immediate area. The appeal about Petworth is that the neighborly relations, and it showed its face about a month ago when we had a pretty awful storm that came through here and knocked out power for about 2 days. And there were a couple of cases where trees crashed into people's houses. It was so loud, it woke everyone up. And so incredibly violent that a bunch of us just spontaneously came out of our houses at 2:30 in the morning and started walking around with flashlights, making sure that everyone was okay walking up and down the alleys. And it, for 2 days, made this part of D.C. almost into a medieval village.
Do you think you learned anything in that experience that would help you if you were faced with another disaster?
Well, what we did learn is that government wasn't around here to help us. And I remember the absence of police. I think the police department in D.C. is under-resourced right now and understaffed in terms of officers on the beat. And I was a little concerned about that. And as the second night approached, when we were in dark, I wondered if things would get out of control and if there'd be some nasty people running around doing things. That didn't happen. It felt very safe on the streets. People looked out for one another.
There's this document that I saw. It's called the Community Emergency Management Plan, and it's divided up in different areas of the city. It says it could take 72 hours for officials to get out into different neighborhoods. So the plan sort of says the local neighborhood should be prepared to handle things for, say, the first 3 days of an emergency. I'm curious, do you feel prepared to do that?
No. We don't have within a short walking distance any large grocery stores. We have a couple of small markets. They certainly couldn't afford to help the neighborhood out in a real run. So that would be a serious problem. And we haven't really been given very specific instructions. Advisory neighborhood commissioners are, they're volunteer positions, but we are elected. And I represent about 2,000 people, and my commission represents about 20,000 people. And unless I was asleep at the switch, but I've been to every meeting this year, and I read my mail, we don't have any clear outlines on what to do. And the past couple of weeks have reminded me of my own need to do some homework on this.
Do you have a sense of how you would know that there was an evacuation?
It would have to be through the media. Oh, we do get, as an advisory neighborhood commissioner, I get emergency messages from the city, text messages through my cell phone. And to be honest, the service has been terrible. I frequently will get messages about an advancing storm after the storm's passed through. I'll get messages about a breakdown in the subway after I know about it by some other means. That doesn't inspire confidence.
Is it odd to be sitting here talking about this?
Yes. And I've always felt living in Washington, there's a facade of security. I used to work on Capitol Hill, and staffers would joke with each other about the facade of security out there, that if someone really wanted to do something nasty, it wouldn't be hard. And it's a reminder how security is also a state of mind, and there's a certain gimmickry to it, unfortunately.
That was Joseph Martin, a neighborhood leader in the Petworth community of Washington, D.C. Before that, we heard from Natalie Jones Best, an emergency manager at the district's Department of Transportation.
Thank you.